right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night. Taking your phone calls as always at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we head toward Final Four weekend. We'll have the Final Four for you here on WGCL on Saturday, starting at 3:30 for pregame. Tip off 6 o'clock for Villanova and Oklahoma, closer to 9 for the follow-up, the nightcap, North Carolina and Syracuse in the ACC battle. And then, of course, next Monday we will have the final game for you starting at 6:30, so we'll be a little abbreviated next Monday night, but we will be with you, leading you into the championship game. Also, Indiana now in their off-season working on what next season is going to look like. There are stories now about offers out already, trying to fill a couple of potential gaps. As far as we know right this minute, there are no gaps, but, of course, there are some decisions to be made. With regards to NBA possibilities, and there's always decisions to be made if somebody decides they do not want to be with the program and look for playing time elsewhere, too. No word on any of that just yet. Boo Williams has apparently said that Troy has not had discussions on the NBA yet. So, again, all of this yet to come. It's middle of May before we start getting into when people find out their stock, if they do indeed enter the process. So, Glass, we're left with what we've got is what we've got. What we think might happen is all speculation at the moment. But they're recruiting for next year. They're offering scholarships for next year. And certainly that would tell you they think somebody is going to make a decision to exit the program.
Well, what do they say every year at this time when it's oversigned or there's numerical?
It'll work itself out.
It'll work itself out. So what does that mean? Well, it means that May 25th, May 24th, somewhere around there, is the new deadline day. And now players have multiple chances, I believe, to...
Unlimited chances at the draft process.
That's exactly right.
Which is to go to the combine, and I think you have time after that.
As long as you don't hire an agent.
As long as you don't hire an agent.
You may explore your options and possibilities. And again, the timing on this has been moved forward to hopefully help programs. And John Calipari has always weighs in on the issues and said, we are sending every kid on our roster to go and take advantage of this situation, because if that's available and that's what's going to make our players better, well, then we should try to get them as better as we can.
Sure.
Use the system for our advantage. And I don't think there's anything tremendously wrong with any of that. And the other thing it's good for the college game, I would suggest, would be in the old days you could pull out like 10 days before the draft, and the draft's always like the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a month where you don't stick your team. If somebody decides late, it doesn't force the kid, but it still kind of extenuates this process or strings out this process to see, hey, where can I go? So what should coaches do? Sit around and do nothing? You kind of force them into this game to play. So
exactly.
I really don't have a problem with having to play by the new rules that are almost put together here. Or, again, thinking, if the kid doesn't tell me up front whether he's going or not, well, I have to coach the team next year, and I need to have
you
a full
fill
roster.
It up, right?
And I prefer to fill it when there's more players available, perhaps, and when there are less players available.
Sure.
So
because it is transfer season. I mean, we're hearing about this all over the place. So
and
Ohio State apparently is losing or three guys today.
No, they lost four of their five freshman class last year. Four of them have decided they're not going to play at Ohio State next year, and we always bring that list up from Jeff Goodman at ESPN.com. He's been the unofficial scorekeeper of transfers and everything else over the years. What did we get to last year? Like 590,
yeah,
490. It was a big, big number. So there isn't anything much new under the sun. The graduate transfers, Indiana has used that rule very effectively with Max Bielfeldt last year. We saw it with
Zeisloff.
Yeah. Evan Gordon was here. I don't know if he made the impact perhaps that some thought he would, but it was a body who had played 3 or 4 years of major college basketball, Dave, and the junior college route is open. And again, there's late signings in high school. We saw Verdell Jones III was a late signing early in Tom's tenure that worked out to be a very solid four-year player. So there's plenty of stuff that's going on right now, and none of it in the least amount will be boring at all. And we'll keep our eyes peeled for it. And I'm pretty sure that Indiana did offer a junior college kid on First Sight yesterday. That was all over the stuff last night. So, again, what else do you do? I don't think there's any way you sit back. There is no college basketball off-season draft or redraft. So you always have to be in the game. You always have to be moving and shaking. And the other thing that Indiana has to look at, and I don't know how this factors in numerically, but with three kids having off-season surgery, you hope they're all back in time. This isn't the NBA where you can bring guy in for a 10-day contract. But I don't know what you do in that situation. Is that just hard luck if everybody's not raring to go on November 1st because their injuries don't heal as quickly as they do? There's really no...
It all depends, obviously.
There's really no leeway in that. You can't bring in a player for a month or two or first semester and then say, okay, great, we're in the Big Ten this season. Right. It's time to go.
Right. I mean, you do have to ask those questions. I mean, Josh Newkirk was brought in as a transfer last year. We haven't seen him, other than if you've been able to attend practice. We don't know what he's going to look like. They say he was practicing late, in the second half of the season, so hopefully he'll be full speed. We got to worry about that still a little bit, I think, maybe more less so than some of the others. Colin Hartman and his wrist was being operated on. You'd hope that wouldn't be a multi-month thing. The weird one to me, we all know about James Blackman. He's had the surgery all over. He's been working on that. Juwan Morgan in the shoulder, we kind of expected that shouldn't be a 9-month thing, but you never know. The weird one to me becomes Robert Johnson, just because you have a sprained ankle and you have surgery on it, and I'm not an orthopedist or anything like that, but I don't know what that was exactly. So you wonder what exactly that entails. Is that actually more of a knee thing? Again, no idea. So what does all that mean? Well, if the first thing I did is went and found a 6'5 athletic small forward slash guard who hits the boards and gives you all the athletic type stuff, they're looking to fill some spots look, a lot of their system is people switching multiple positions, all those sorts of things. They want to find those mid-range bodies. That's
well, don't
what they
forget,
like.
And you gotta
but that's the first thing is went out and found this guy in the JUCO
and
offered him.
The other thing is you got to have guys to practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to have a competitive practice environment because Tom has talked about it. His key
had a manager make the team.
His key to the team. Well, I think that was more. He didn't get a scholarship. He was just given a jersey. You can give 20 guys jerseys if you want.
Sure,
that's not a big deal. Sure. But the level of talent and competition you bring in is completely different.
Well, I imagine they're using him in practice, and that's the reason for that.
And Tom has talked about this. He said this year, that was his big thing earlier in the season. We want to be truly too deep at every position. I don't know if that's just an annual or an every once in a while thing, but most teams have backups at most positions that can give guys breathers in play. So here's the problem. The problem is the system is not cohesive or coherent to alleviating short-term problems. That's the problem. If Hartman's slow to recover, if Blackman's slow to recover,
you can't just pick somebody up.
So I sympathize with the coaches on that because you kind of have to chase shadows. And the other thing is, no one has to is forced to make a decision. I would think, unless there's backroom dealings where you say, hey, Novak, we know you kind of got one eye on the NBA. If you could help us out, let us know by April 5th.
Give us a hand.
Well, that'd be great. And then they say, well, the draft camp's not for 3 weeks after that, and I'm not real sure what's going to happen until I go to this draft camp. This is the new normal now. This is how college basketball is, whether you like it or not. Yeah, that's completely debatable.
Do you think there's any chance that John Beilein would let us have Spike Albrecht for the second straight Michigan transfer?
Spike has something in his
deal
that says there's no Big Ten. I think they have lived and learned. Ricky Doyle's out.
Is
he? But the Big Ten transfer, intra-conference transfer, has to have a special waiver to make that happen anyhow.
Yes.
So I'm not sure how Beal Felt's waiver got through.
I don't know.
But
take it.
Why have a rule if you got a waiver?
They were counting on Ricky Doyle, so how would that work out?
Sometimes it doesn't matter.
We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk a little Final Four when we get back.
Just a little bit.
Just a bit. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. All kinds of people transferring out of the Big Ten suddenly.
Tis the season.
You mentioned 4 out of 5 in the freshman class at Ohio State. So if you want to if anybody could help us figure out what's going on there, that'd be interesting. Ricky Doyle, we knew about Spike Albrecht. Michigan didn't want him to play anymore. He found, doctors somewhere that said, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
Hey, whatever's going on there. Ricky Doyle, as we mentioned, from Michigan, the big guy, one of the guys that was chosen over Max Bielfeld, interestingly enough. He's apparently leaving Michigan. A couple guys, Marvin Clark Jr. and Javon Bess, are leaving Michigan State.
Is that official? That became official?
Oh, it's on the Jeff Goodman list.
Oh, that's official, yeah. Because Goodman does a good job of keeping track of all that, which isn't surprising either because Michigan State's recruiting class is number one in the country coming in, and they have the best power forward in the country coming in, and those two guys you just mentioned would be pining for those minutes, and they'd spend most of their time pining on the bench.
Pining and watching.
Exactly. Right. Well, that's the thing. Kids want to play, and if coaches can come and go when they want to, and not have to sit out and sign bigger contracts somewhere else. I still get a little peeved. The kids should be able to transfer, not in their league. They should be able to transfer.
I don't see why you can't do it in your league, but I'm with you. I mean, at the very least, they should have some flexibility.
They should not have to sit out a year. That doesn't make a bit of sense at all. And if anything, if you wanted to compromise, I'd say sit out until the league season starts. If you want to compromise, that's a compromise. It's not all of it. It's not some of it. What it would do, they want deterrence from why a kid would jump school A to B to C to D. Let them do it one time.
They don't want the kids to get together and destroy the program for a year because they all decide to leave because they're boycotting something they don't like.
Yep.
That's what they want.
Without penalty. That's the thing.
Well, exactly.
You can do that.
The whole team can leave.
Fact,
the kids at
Ohio, the kids at Ohio State say, well, we don't like coaching. We got into something we didn't want to get into here. Well, they have to sit out a year.
Right.
They just can't leave and go.
Well,
so then you get into suppositions. Then you get into what the intent is. And essentially, you and I have just explained why there's a sit out year for the transfer rule. You have to have it. It stinks for the coaches.
We're not saying necessarily it should be that way, but
it makes sense to do it. Exactly right. Nebraska had a kid leave. Ohio State had the four leave. Wisconsin had a 13-year assistant. He left the program today, so maybe he didn't like the guard hire. I can't tell you. Yeah. I don't know. But it happens all the time this time of year. But just as we joked about, but it's serious, when somebody starts keeping track of it and tweeting it every 15 minutes, it puts it right in your face all the time. Guys left Indiana a lot during the night era. Guys left Indiana. This happens all the time. Guys. If grandmas get sick, if moms get sick.
Do a Google search on Jeff Goodman transfer list 2016.
Does he have it behind a paywall?
No.
He doesn't. Good.
No, this is wide open. I mean, he's already got the top 10 ranked here.
Yeah.
Spike Albrecht is the 10th ranked guy on here.
Sure.
And then his graduate transfers listed. I mean, it's
the new normal.
This is not April yet.
No. It's tomorrow.
We haven't had the championship game yet. and I don't know the number here, but you got to be looking at 150 at least.
And the other interesting thing is you'll see kids start declaring for the NBA draft that you've never heard of before.
Because
the system is a little goofy. I'm not here to fix it today, but I can sure point out its shortcomings.
It's got goofiness. Let's move on to actual basketball.
Hoops.
However,
there it is.
This weekend is the Final Four again. We'll have it for you here on WGCL, starting with pregame at 3:30. Talk 2.5 hours worth of basketball, and then tip off at just after 6 o'clock for Villanova and Oklahoma. And this matchup is really exciting. Not only because it's two number two seeds, you got maybe arguably the best player in the nation. In Buddy Hield.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, and then you've got Nova, who's a team that, for several years now has kind of disappointed when it's had some high seedings, but this year, got all the way through, made its way through a tough Kansas team, had to face Miami number three before that. It has not had the easiest ride of all itself. But is playing very good basketball and is playing very good defensive basketball. So you get a scoring team in Oklahoma, you get a defensive team in Villanova that's guard oriented. What do you end up here? What gives?
It's very interesting. There has only been one national championship team that has not had a McDonald's All-American on it. And it doesn't matter who that team is per se, but Oklahoma doesn't have a McDonald's All-American on it. But strangely, they have arguably the best player in college basketball.
Right.
So it's interesting how that all kind of falls together. Since 1979, according to ESPN, every champion has had a McDonald's All-American, and you should be familiar with the team that didn't.
Everyone since 1989?
79.
79. I should be familiar
with
the team that didn't.
Yep, and our callers or listeners should be familiar with it as well. The 2002 Maryland Terrapins.
Juan
Dixon, Lonnie Baxter,
really
Chris Wilcox. They didn't. No McDonald's All-Americans.
Really?
Not one.
They had five NBA guys on there. Or at least,
That have played in the league. They did not have one McDonald's All-American.
Interesting.
Which, that's interesting because that reminds me, that Maryland team reminds me a little bit of this Villanova team. Mm-hmm. All the pieces, guys that can shoot, that's big, right, deep, long, athletic, but they have the McDonald's All-American, so that's interesting. What you always worry about, at least I do with Oklahoma, is what happens if Buddy doesn't have a Buddy night.
Exactly. Because what did he go for, 37 the other? I mean,
he had 37, insane. But he only had 17 and 10 in the regional semifinal, and they won that game. I can't remember who they beat. They beat Duke, Oregon, and it was Texas A&M, and the game was over. The game was a 30-point game at one point, 25-point game. It wasn't close. It was one of those 46-20 games at halftime, and it was done because Oklahoma, I think, hit a ton of threes in that game. Woodard, the point guard, hit a ton of threes in that game. So they have shown in a big spot. A regional semifinal is not chump changes. We know.
Exactly. That was a three seed.
They showed, and I think Buddy had five at halftime in that game.
He didn't have a good first half.
And it was a big Oklahoma lead. Again, I'm going off the top of my head from last Thursday night or whatever, Friday night, whatever that was. But they have shown in a big spot, and remember, that A&M team was coming off a 2-overtime, unbelievable, come-from-behind, emotionally draining victory against Northern Iowa the Sunday before that, and had to turn around and play.
It was a 20 at the end of the half.
A huge lead with Buddy. I don't think they'll have the halftime box for you.
19 was, yeah, it was 19 at half.
That's a huge lead. Yeah. And when your top guy's not firing, so what you need to know about Oklahoma is they might be able to carry the freight a lot.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen Buddy in a bad game where he is just 3-for-30 because he doesn't shoot it that poorly. You see this guy shoot a jumper, he gets you nine different ways. He gets you going the hole. He gets you pulling up. He can pull up from 25
feet.
He's
impressive.
He's a very, very voluminous scorer. And he's got a good shot. There's a difference. Sometimes guys put the ball in the basket. This guy, if you leave him open, it's in.
Yeah,
it's wet. It's swishing. It's no problem. And that's going to be a matchup that I think that Villanova isn't going to hugely mind because they got guys that can play that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to have to throw 2-3 kids at him because that's Buddy's right. going to run you. If you watch Oklahoma play, it's double here, it's curl here, it's run the baseline there. He doesn't stand, catch it, and clear everybody out.
They do a lot to get him open.
Exactly right. And they do have some height, and they do have some patience in that lineup. And they got a coach in Lon Kruger, Dave. 1988 Final Eight with Kansas State, Final Four, 94 with Florida.
No, I mean, nobody thinks of him as one of the best in the nation, but he's been around a long time, and he's been in some big spots.
Three teams to the Final Eight, and mm-hmm. not a lot of guys have that on their resume. And obviously the Florida team that went in 94, nobody. That wasn't one that was just jumping out. And then obviously this Oklahoma team that's gotten in there. But when you have a player like Heald, he covers and papers over so many cracks that sometimes Oklahoma doesn't have to play perfect if they've got him purring.
Well, and it's interesting, though, too, because you have this battle of styles. You know, Villanova is much more comfortable playing slower.
They can score, but again, the
defensive game they put down on Kansas the other day, I mean, they're much more apt to they're more apt than Oklahoma is to be able to lock you down. And if you're talking about a Buddy Hield, and I won't say a one-guy show because you don't get this far being a one-guy show, but Buddy Hield is so much of that offense. If he doesn't fire, it's not. You got the A&M game where he wasn't firing, but most of the time it's the Buddy Hield show.
17 is a pretty good number there. But, Villanova scored 92 against Miami in the game before that. So they can play any style. And I think that's what good teams can do. Good teams don't have to have it break. It's not like the Kentucky Derby. If you got a horse that can only do this,
does Villanova in this game want to play Oklahoma's game? I would think they'd want to take him out of it and try to slow him down.
I think you want to get into possessions. The more shots you can get for Buddy Hield. I mean, look at the games against Kansas they played. It went to 100 and whatever, 100. They have no
three
problem scoring. They got guys in the perimeter who can make shots. They've got bodies inside that can block shots and get to it. That's why I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup. They played once this year. It was in November. I don't think you throw it out, but it was a huge win. I think, didn't Oklahoma kill them? And I don't have it right in front of me, but if you look that up, I think they played in one of those preseason tournament type deals. And I saw this earlier, and I can't
78-55 Oklahoma.
Oh, it's a route.
Yeah.
It's a route, but that's a long time ago. Everybody's gotten a little bigger and a little smarter.
Pearl Harbor Classic.
There you go. And that's what Indiana's going to play Kansas in next year, if I'm not mistaken. What you like about Villanova and their toughness is they held Perry Ellis to what? Single digits.
Yeah.
He couldn't score. Yeah. He had a terrible night. He didn't get his first points, I don't believe, until like the 16-minute mark of the second half. And Kansas was in that game until they turned the ball over with 10 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, at this level, you've got to have players. And you don't get into this level this deep if you've got a one-man show. So when you're watching Oklahoma, it's just not going to be about Buddy. They've shown you that's not the case. And Villanova's shown you, too, that they're tough. They can score in the 90s. They can score in the 50s. They played in a Big East. It might not have gotten a lot of love, but that was a good league.
It's a good league. It's a more defensive league also, and it was very early for their matchup in the Pearl Harbor Classic. Oklahoma hit 14 of 26 threes. Did Oklahoma. Buddy Hield ended up scoring 18 points, but 14 of 26 threes is pretty strong for Oklahoma, and in the meantime, Villanova went 4 of 32 from three-point land, so that's how you get to 55 points.
What do you build a house if you ask the three little pigs, what do you build a house out of? Bricks. That's exactly what you do.
333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Travis.
All right, Travis.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good to hear from you. Happy Final Four week.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I've got a few things.
Good.
I hated seeing IU get beat, of course.
Yeah, that's a good team.
As long as North Carolina beats Syracuse, I'll feel better. I can't stand Syracuse.
That's going to be a tough game to watch, and we're going to talk about that after the break. That's a little bit of a slimy game.
This is the NCAA probation league.
It's a little slimy going on there.
Yeah. But I think it's probably going to end up being Oklahoma. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Villanova. I mean, they got Trumped. I know it's early in the year, but that's hard. You get beat by 20 some points, and unless maybe you're missing somebody or was having a bad night.
Dave just told you what they're missing. They're missing three pointers.
Yeah,
they missed 28
Villanova
of them.
Went 4 of 32 on three pointers. Oklahoma went 14 of 26. So it was completely different.
So that's a 42-12 right there.
Yeah, 10 more.
That's big there, but. But I was wanting to just go kind of a little bit away from what you guys were talking about. After watching the North Carolina IU game, I hated to get beat, but it kind of made me feel a little better and thinking it may have our guys, at least the young guys, think that maybe they need to stick around at least another year or so to develop. They're obviously NBA players like Bryant and OG. Those kids, unless they screw themselves up somehow or do something stupid, they'll be playing in the NBA. But I hope that if they have people saying, hey, you know, you're good, you need to go now, I think it would hurt them. You know, they might get drafted, but if they stick around another year or two, I think they could be like how Zeller and Oladipo were. I mean, they would be top 10 for sure.
Well, there's two ways to look at that, and I don't think you're wrong. Number one, after that game, no one's going to tell you what you want to hear anyhow, but the reporters get killed if they don't ask that question. So right. They've got to ask the question. Mm-hmm. And the emotional response at the time, you're not going to get it anyhow. The part about why they go to the NBA, though, I don't think has anything to do with winning basketball games. I think it has to do with their own personal development.
Well, of course.
And if that adds to it coming through the ways, that's fine as well. The other thing is, none of these people, for the most part, that we're talking about, I couldn't tell you anything about their financial situation at home. If grandma's sick, if somebody has special needs, I can't tell you about that. So I'm not going to even go down that road. But if you want to look at a little proof in the pudding, or whatever that phrase is, Bryce Johnson came back as a senior.
Yeah.
And he's destroying college basketball. But I want you to learn some math with me here. Thomas Bryant turned 18, I believe, in October. Okay? He gets drafted in June. He's in the league. He turns 19 in the league.
Right.
When his three-year, four-year rookie deal comes up, he's 23. He can sign a max deal at 23, a max deal at 29, or 28. He gets two max contracts.
Assuming he's good enough.
That's the angle.
Right.
If you're going pro, they draft guys on potential sometimes, not the finished product. Bryce Johnson's going to be nice, but when Bryce Johnson's first contract comes up, he's going to be 28 years old.
Uh-huh.
So there's an angle to that where some guys will look at it and say, the quicker I get in the league and get done with my rookie deal, Victor Oladipo's next contract ain't going to be $2.3 million a year.
No.
Victor's going to be in the Eric Gordon 16, 14, 15, because guys don't average 18 and 6 and 5 in that league.
Right.
And that's where you get paid. So my point is, you shrink the window. You get in there as soon as you can, and you don't have a 20-hour-a-week limit in season, and you don't have a 10-hour-a-week off-season limit.
Sure.
It is a full-time job of you can work out all day long, dietitians, professional trainers, you name it, Are you going to develop more at Cook Hall? And I'm not picking on Indiana University. Do not take it this way.
No, I mean, they do as well as anybody
you,
can.
Can you? But they have a limited amount
of hours.
But they
have a limited amount of specific instruction.
And
time.
Is Thomas Bryant going to learn banging Tim Priller in the post?
Right, exactly.
Or is he going to learn taking lessons from whoever drafts
from
him?
From a big guy
from
that
a big
got
guy that's
staff.
Been in the league for 10 years exactly. or 11 years and knows how to do it. That's why these decisions are never simple. Right. It is unless your name is LeBron James.
Because look, these two guys. We talked about this on Monday when you weren't here. But look, Troy Williams to me has had his eye on the NBA from day one. I would not be shocked in least if he was gone already. Thomas Bryant's got an interesting decision because Thomas Bryant improved a hell of a lot at Indiana this year. How much of that was being in competition in the Big Ten because that's when he made his biggest improvement? I don't know what that would compare to versus the NBA. But he did make a huge leap this year.
I'll throw
some of these guys I wonder about, though, too, if they wouldn't – if the competition, the live competition, wouldn't help them as much as, if not more so than that. But Thomas Bryant is not going to be a four-year guy here. He's that talented.
No, but here's,
it's
but
a
here's
one
the
more,
thing about
it's a
Bryant.
One more, maybe two at the absolute most.
But the thing you've left out about Bryant is he made such a tremendous leap from Christmas to Valentine's Day.
Right.
Who's to say he won't
at the next
will
level.
Make
sure.
The same
no
leap
question.
Or make the Miles Turner leap
no
where
question.
You said, Miles Turner, who's that? He
yeah,
played
well, he
13 minutes a game at Texas. He got 20 points one time, and all of a sudden, he doesn't play. He screws up his thumb, has surgery,
right.
sits around and does nothing
That's right.
for 3 months with the Pacers, and all of a sudden, you look up every time, every 3 out of 5 days in the box score, it's 16-10. Now,
yep.
Thomas Bryant has to ask himself a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to get paid now,
yeah, can I
or do
that?
I want to wait 2 years and get paid? Because the emotional security, the emotional stability, the instability is all solved perceptually by what? Money.
Well, sure. It, right, but here's
not IU fans is want. It's solved
right,
by money.
You got to look at Von Leigh too. I mean,
got paid.
I don't know how he's doing now, but yeah, he's getting paid. But is he still in the D League?
I believe so.
I mean, well,
he's still
pull
but,
a stats
yeah, paid, oh. but. He's probably going to be done after he gets his contract.
Okay, but here's the thing about Noah Vonleh. He reclassified down to go to Indiana as a 17-year-old.
He's very young.
When Noah Vonleh's contract runs out, he's going to be 21 years of age. You can't tell me a guy in the NBA is washed up at 21.
He is 20 right now.
He's 20.
He turns 21 in August.
There you go. So he's going to be 21 in his fourth year in the league.
Oh, but it happened. But I guess, I don't know, it'll be interesting what they do. I
agree with you. I think it's always
year or two, I'm good. And I actually think, not that I don't wish anything bad for him, but I think Troy Williams, I think IU, even if he leaves, I think IU will be actually better. I don't think him leaving is going to hurt IU. If he gets in the NBA, that's great for him, but if he leaves or goes, I don't think it's going to matter for
Travis,
IU that
much. If Indiana is the program that 90% of their fans perceive them to be, it shouldn't hurt when anybody leaves.
Look, if Troy Williams comes back as a senior, it'd be an awfully nice addition. I mean,
Travis,
I
good call as always.
I know a lot of people think he's reckless and all that sort of thing, but you got an elite athlete and a guy who, believe it or not, has improved with the ball in his hands.
Right.
To not have him would not be a good
But if
thing.
You're Indiana and you have to sit there and say,
could you
well,
deal without him? I mean, you've got talent coming back. You've got freshman talent coming in. It's not going to be the end of the world. You're exactly right.
And it can't be. If you're a program of Indiana stature, it can't be you lose a kid like that or even
Thomas
Bryant. Takes you 3 years to get one more recruit similar to him? No, I don't think that can happen.
Vonleh had started some games in Portland.
Yeah.
It appears as though maybe he's not starting right this minute, but he's been playing for Portland. Now, he was traded from Charlotte, which was his first team, and he did spend time in Fort Wayne. But you're exactly right. He's 20 years right now, and hey.
You going to give up on a dude at 20? No thanks.
We'll not give up on him. Hell no. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. So we've got Nova and Oklahoma. Do you lean either way on this one?
I think it'll be a great game. Should be a good game.
I was looking for a winner.
Yeah,
loser,
I'm going to get to that. Yeah. Okay. I think the coaching battle is decent. Jay Wright has been there recently.
I love all the athletes on the floor in this one.
Lon Kruger is the crusty veteran of the two coaches. Done it with more programs. Nothing wrong with that. I always lean star player in these games.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the easy way out. Because Villanova, again – you get into a situation, and they've made it happen. I like Villanova defensively a little bit more than I like Oklahoma defensively.
Yes, absolutely.
But Oklahoma just keeps putting it on you, putting it on you, putting it on you. But when you got to get a bucket in the last 2 minutes of the game,
you got somebody to go
to. You got Buddy,
to.
And Buddy shoots what?
And he's money. And, you know, the Villanova is a nice, well-rounded team. I mean, they're athletic. You like the fact that their scoring goes across. We talked this about a lot about this with IU. They're spread it out. You don't have to rely on any one guy all the time.
Right.
But when it comes to the big games against the best athletes, you point to the guy who you give the ball to in a big situation. You do. You point to Kobe. You point to Michael. You point to guys like that in those spots because they're just the best guys on the floor.
And that's what blew your mind if you watched the double overtime thriller in Lawrence earlier in January that Hield didn't touch the ball last 90 seconds of either overtime.
Yeah.
Huh?
What?
He had 46 on the night.
What are you
Why
doing?
Why were you and Lon Kruger
and they still managed to get to double, triple overtime.
Wants to be lauded for his great coaching. You can't. You going to decoy him? How about him end the game? You know, I have three overtimes. How about all that? Yeah. So the interesting part will be neither of these teams have been anywhere, done anything important. If you remember, Oklahoma got knocked out in the regional semifinals last year by Michigan State. Upset there because Michigan State was a, what was that? It was a 7-2 or something.
Something like that.
Maybe not a 2 for Oklahoma, but anyhow, the point is, Oklahoma's had a little bit of a taste of it. Villanova's had a little bit of a taste of the disappointment in it. And the one interesting point someone brought up today, and I didn't hear him make the point why, but it rang true. These will be the first games in domes of the all-tournament.
The whole tournament.
And that shooting backdrop does two things to you. You either gobble it up and it doesn't bother you, or it's in the little back of your mind saying, that's kind of long, short, off.
What am I doing there?
Is it? Could it? So we'll see how that affects it. I think if you had to put it to me right now, I like Hield, but if he, I just worry if he's off a hair, Villanova's too balanced. And what Villanova did to Kansas was more impressive. Oregon never got to me. I never got Oregon.
No.
Villanova wins a tight one.
No, and that's the thing is a Kansas guy has a lot of talent. They've got the scoring ability. They're a well-rounded team, and Villanova pretty well shut them down. And that is impressive right there. Will they do that against an Oklahoma team? Again, Oklahoma, Kansas, these are teams that played in their season, had some great games.
Joe, call back, hit the wrong button.
Villanova, to me, look, I like Buddy Hield. I lean towards Buddy Hield in a big spot. It's the big player game. I'm going to pick Oklahoma.
There you go.
But to me, the well-rounded, I mean, you absolutely cannot say that Villanova is going to surprise you if they win this.
No. They're well-rounded. They beat you high, they beat you low, they beat you in
between. They're well-rounded. They spread it out. They defend you. They get up in you. They can get up and down the court if they want to do that, and they can follow your lead. They can do all that. I think they're better. They're more likely to impose what they want to do against what Oklahoma wants to do. And in these games, in these big games, how often you've seen that, especially in these Final Fours the last several years? It's always been about who can defensively kind of shut somebody
and
down or bring them down to their game.
Yeah, nobody's going to lean on the no one respects us, we're the underdog. You don't have any of that stuff.
No, both
twos. Syracuse, you might have that.
Looking at the other side of the bracket, you have the North Carolina Tar Heels. You have the Syracuse Orangemen. We'll talk about that game when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Oh, I believe Joe.
Is it you, Joe?
Confirm it's Joe.
Are you there?
It is, Joe.
Hey, Joe. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, over the summer and early part of the school year, a lot of talk about Cream being on the hot seat and no discipline on the team and whatnot. And you guys may have covered this. I don't always get to catch your whole show. But you've got this team, once the season started anyway, I never caught a whiff of anything concerning marijuana, alcohol.
How could you?
Players
They'd all be fired.
Over.
Yeah,
they don't be gone.
Running over teammates.
You know what, Joe?
There was such an ultimatum. I mean, Michael McRobbie came down on the entire athletic department and said, "You better cut all this. Get your house together."
And I think my point is, I think it's working.
Yeah,
Hopefully, this isn't the anomaly.
Well,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Hopefully, this isn't the anomaly because I think that made a big difference. Of course, talent helps. I think that made a big difference on this year's team.
And
you didn't have that stuff.
Yes. Joe, thanks for the phone call.
Good
we appreciate
job,
it. We just got a little while left.
Yeah,
but you're exactly right. I mean, you saw, if nothing else, I think you saw chemistry out of this team that you maybe didn't the couple years before.
But let's just take a deep breath. And I don't think Joe's wrong. I think his point's valid, but we shouldn't be patting a team on the back for not being in trouble with the law.
No, that's true.
We can't do that.
But that's why I look at the chemistry angle more so than, hey, they're not getting in trouble
anymore.
The chemistry
angle's great. And you know what? Guess what happens when you don't get in trouble? Sometimes you don't get caught. Let's be fair.
Well, that's roster.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we can't. It's Indiana basketball. You can't sit here and say, hey, another year, we didn't have an arrest this year. We're not putting banners up for that, guys.
We should.
That has to happen.
We should.
That is part of the expectation. That is part of why it was so frustrating when all that happened, because we always puff our chest out and say, we are
Indiana. Better, and we don't do this.
And you earned your stripes.
And then we were doing this, and we were doing that. Yeah.
And again.
It's party school.
I think that's not thankful. It should be that way. And if it doesn't happen, that, and if it happens next year, no one should say, Joe can. It's American. He can say whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. We like Joe. He can't say, but last year they didn't have any rest.
It takes one bad apple.
Because here's the point people miss. Tom Crean's general manager, Kevin Wilson's general manager, doesn't feed him players.
Yeah, that's right.
They
do that themselves.
These choices.
They get to choose the kids. No
they
question.
Choose the punishment for the kids.
And the punishment. To some degree, yes.
To some degree. But we knew those punishments leading up to what Joe was alluding to didn't work.
Right.
Because the deterrence was zero. Mm-hmm. That's their kids. That's their responsibility. And if it doesn't work out, you either keep them and take another chance on them and then tell us 6 months later that was a bad idea, what you did with Perea.
Yeah.
And you have to live with those decisions.
Exactly
you make $3.5 million a year. This is not community service. This is not volunteer work.
Look, there's always
you make your bed, you lay in it.
There's always a fine line.
And
when do you
school.
Do it? There's always a fine line of when do you do it, and do you make it punitive on the last
Roy
guy
Williams,
because something's got to happen?
Jim Boeheim.
Well, they're not in any trouble yet.
Mike Krzyzewski.
Boeheim sat out for a few games.
Sat out for 9 games.
They do a lot more than testing positive for a drug test.
Nope.
Let's move on because
that
we do
was
have
my segue.
We do have the game here with Roy Williams and Jim Boeheim.
But that's a different story there.
And you've got academic fraud. You've got whatever the heck Syracuse is accused of doing.
Yes, but the difference in any
soon.
Of that is, especially in the Carolina situation, it was departmental, sport, and student. It mm-hmm. was the, it wasn't one pinhole. It wasn't one pew. And that's what makes people uneasy about it. They wonder why Carolina wins all the time. It can't possibly be because they're well-coached and get good players on the up and up. Well, why is the NCAA sniffing around?
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Why if Syracuse is doing everything correctly, is the NCAA wondering about their academics and wondering about who's writing and helping and doing papers? Oh, that's how you get better talent and you keep guys eligible. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Well, it's interesting. Do you want to be that?
That's the question. We talked about this the other day.
Do
you want some of that top talent? Maybe shave some corners? Do you want the underdogs all the time and maybe not win all the games you want to win? Where is it?
You got to find happiness somewhere.
Yeah,
and we should have a good one. These teams have seen each other enough. Conference, brand new conference foes the last couple of years. Syracuse had no business being in the tournament to a lot of people, and all they've done is turn that upside down. But they haven't beaten anybody, have they?
Virginia.
They beat a 10-7. They beat Gonzaga in the final, which was an 11. And they beat Virginia, who they'd seen three times prior this year, and Virginia had beaten them all three
times.
They know
them well.
So that's interesting.
They got, let's be fair. They're getting their butt kicked by Virginia.
It is.
That's a game,
the
too.
The one thing that always makes you scratch your head about Syracuse in a bad way is it's a 2-3 zone. You know it's coming, and it's hard to play against. Does Carolina shoot it well from the outside? Well, if you listen to our fans, they had an unbelievable game, and that'll never happen again. Well, if it doesn't, Syracuse is going to beat them. Because if you don't knock down three-point shots against a 2-3 zone, Dave, the day's a little bit easier to do it.
Yeah.
You throw the ball to Bryce Johnson, his favorite 8 to 12 feet. Boy, there's three guys right there just kind of hanging out around
him. A little
him.
Tougher.
We saw that.
I mean,
Syracuse has those athletes. Syracuse has that system that drives you crazy. But Roy Williams hasn't been to a Final Four since 2009.
And let's be fair. I mean, Syracuse was dead in the water until Malachi Richardson started going nuts.
Dead. One guy.
Yeah, it was 18 points.
Well, 16,
were,
yeah.
But yeah. They were getting killed.
They were.
And then all of a sudden, Malachi Richardson goes nuts. And that's the point. They got one or two of those guys that can do that.
Here.
Carolina's got three or four, maybe.
The interesting part of Carolina's attack is it doesn't seem to bother them who they're playing or what system they're playing. They score points. And obviously, they played in the league this year. And we talked about this last week before the Indiana game. They were in the 60s three times.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And they're 32-6. They've been in the 60s, or 33-6.
Yeah.
They've been in the 60s three times.
They want to get up and
they
down.
They score. So for all the Indiana fans who told you, wow, this team really can't shoot that well, how do they get to 82 every game?
They weren't a three-point shooting team.
They weren't the second
statistically,
half.
Statistically, they were
300. They were 4-12 in the second half.
They were 300th in the nation in three-pointers. They went 7 of 8 in the first half.
And they went 4 of 12 in the second. So I guess they just shot you right out of the building. Maybe that didn't happen.
Nice and early.
But that's going to see what Syracuse is made of. North Carolina, watch them. They're going to watch them on film. Come back against what is Virginia known to do? Take the air out of the ball and play defense. 16-point lead for Virginia is a 30-point lead.
It should have been. And
for that team to dig down with nobody you've ever heard of before.
And granted, Virginia is not known for a high-scoring team. They've been able to on occasion, but they don't want to. They could not buy a basket in the last 8 or 10 minutes of that game. It was unbelievable how bad they were on offense.
It's a 27-9
run. And give Syracuse credit. I mean, their zone just absolutely smothered them.
Well, what happened?
But, I mean, Virginia had no answer for it. They couldn't do anything. You looked at Tony Bennett on the sideline. He's just blind, shell-shocked. He couldn't do a thing.
Open shots that don't go in, and when you can't get easy ones around the rim, it's tough. And what Virginia doesn't do is they don't get up and down the court and get you all those extra possessions. They don't do it. They play a system where at some point you wonder, hey, turn 16 into 26 and let's see if they can come back. Not, we'll just hang around here. That's what Carolina did. They had an 11-point lead at halftime. That's insurmountable? Not the last time I checked. The insurmountable is that's not at all. And you can fight back from those things. And it didn't happen, and Syracuse fought back, and they showed you exactly what you needed to know.
We will have the games starting 3:30 for pregame on Saturday. Tip-off 6 o'clock for the two seeds facing off, Villanova and Oklahoma. And then, of course, a half hour after the conclusion of that game, Syracuse and Carolina tip-off. If you're watching on television, TBS, if you'd like to turn down the sound and listen to us, of course.
Please do.
Again, 3:30 pregame. So if you want your fill of pregame, we're going to have a lot of it. And then we will be back Monday, 6 o'clock, only on an abbreviated show because 6:30 starts the pregame for the national championship game. So, again, a lot of basketball talk on Monday night before that game as well. So we'll have a national champion or at least the national championship matchup when we talk again on Monday night. Join us then. You've been in the zone.